Good morning. Happy Easter. It's still Easter. It's the second Sunday in the season of Easter. We continue to celebrate that Jesus played a joke on the devil. He died, but he rose again. Because of that, there's a tradition in the church where on the second Sunday of Easter, Christians would tell jokes. So I got a really funny joke for you this morning, okay? Stand and greet your neighbors and say, Happy Spring! And I invite you to remain standing, and please join us for the brief order of confession and forgiveness printed in your bulletin. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, he forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our gathering hymn number 373. Thank you. Well, I heard the best story this week. One of our St. John Christian preschool kids, on Monday after preschool, she got on the phone with her grandmother, and she said, "Grandma, guess what?" And grandma said, "What?" And she said, "Jesus is alive, and he lives in our hearts." Yeah, that's aw, right? Yes, it's important. It's working. Thank you, dear child, for reminding us jaded adults, that Easter really is good news. It's good news that he's alive, and that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Please join me in the prayer of the day. O God of life, you reach out to us amid our fears with the wounded hands of your risen Son. By your Spirit's breath, revive our faith in your mercy and strengthen us to be the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may be seated for the reading.
From the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be kingdom, priests serving God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me for the children's message. Thanks for coming up. So, do any of you know how a straw works? Duh, Pastor Russ, right? Of course, right? You've all used a straw before. You just put it in your drink, right? And then what do? I got all morning. What do you do? How do you use a straw? What's that? And then you drink it. How do you drink out of it? Really? Congregation, how do you use a straw? Oh, okay. You suck on it, right? But what happens if you do the other direction? What happens if you blow into it? Have you ever done that? What happens? It makes bubbles, right? And then what happens to the bubbles? Are you giving them cough syrup before they come to church or what? What happens to the bubbles? They pop, right? Where do they go when they pop? Exactly. They just disappear. They're just gone, right? So something like that happened in our gospel reading today. Jesus has just risen from the dead, but his friends, the disciples, they're all afraid because they think somebody is going to come and arrest them for being Jesus' friends. And so they're all hiding in a room, and they're really, really scared. And then Jesus comes, and he breathes on them. And he says, "Peace be with you." And his breath, the breath that comes out of him has power, and it makes their fears go away. Except they didn't have like little bitty fears like that. They had great big fears like that, like a whole bucket full. But that's okay, because Jesus has a really big spirit. His really big spirit is like a great big straw. And he blew his spirit into them. Wow, I'm more powerful than I thought. And what happened? It bubbled up, right? Their fears bubbled up. But then what happens to bubbles? They pop and they disappear and they go away and they're gone forever. And that's exactly what happened to the disciples. Jesus blew on them and then their fears bubbled up and eventually, boop, they popped and they went away. So we can remember that too. Whenever we're afraid, Jesus, his spirit is as close, is as close as our breath. Every time we take a breath, we're breathing in Jesus' spirit, and it can help our fears go away. So, okay, so everybody, I want you to take in a breath and hold it. Congregation, you do it too. Okay? Do you feel that? You feel the bubbles forming, the fears? Okay, let it out. Pop, 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 pop. They're all gone. They go away. Just like that. So we just remember that. Jesus can help us. So I'm going to give you all a present today, okay? After we're done, you go see Susan, and she's going to give you a straw, okay? And you can, a little straw, not a big straw, okay? And she's going to give you that, and then you can use that to make bubbles when your parents say it's okay, okay? Most of the time, you just use it like a regular straw, and as you breathe, you suck and blow through it. Remember that Jesus is as close to you as your breath. So everybody, let's bow our heads, fold our hands, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, help us to breathe in your spirit and take away our fears. Amen. Thanks for coming up. Go see Susan and get your very own straw. And let's stand for the gospel song. The Holy Gospel for today is written in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And you may be seated. Well, last Monday was Earth Day. Did anybody celebrate Earth Day last Monday? It was a beautiful day. I'm sure several of you, many of you, were maybe out in the fields last Monday. Susan and I took the opportunity to put in some additional garden space, garden plots, because, you know, now that winter is over, I took this yesterday, by the way, now that winter is over, we're going to be planting seeds and gardening pretty soon. So you may not realize this, but Martin Luther, even though he lived over 500 years ago, he was very pro-environment. Martin Luther said, "God writes the gospel not in the Bible alone, but on trees and flowers and clouds and stars." He also said, "God is entirely and personally present in the wilderness, in the garden, and in the field." A few years ago, Susan and I, as part of like a Sunday school activity, planted a single seed. We put it in a little Dixie cup with a little bit of soil, you know, put it in there, put some water on it, put it in the windowsill, watered it until it sprouted. Then we put it into the garden, and from that one seed, we got a basket full of squash. Martin Luther would say that there's something very holy and mysterious about that, the way that nature works and how all of God gives us all of that from just a tiny little seed. Martin Luther, besides plants, he loved animals, and he particularly loved his little dog, who he called Topol. Topol, he said, means blockhead. So he loved his little blockhead. He said, "I wish I could focus on God the way Topol watches the meat." For Luther, Luther saw God in creation, in the plants, and in the animals. He said, "Animals are the footprints of God." He saw God's grace, signs of God's grace all around him in nature, in the plants, in the animals. And besides animals, Luther loved music. Next to the Word of God, he said, "The noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world." I can't help but think, if only Luther could have combined his two loves, animals and singing, if he could have brought those together and somehow had animals who sing, oh yeah, he would have loved the movie Sing.
Bye, Casper. love my shoes. I love my shoes.
Come, my lady. Come, my lady. You're my butterfly. Sugar, baby.
Let's hear from a few more of the folks in line. What about you, sir?
Well, Bob, I'm a lab technician for a leading pharmaceutical company, but I was born with a gift. That gift is to sing.
If only animals could sing. That would be so great when... Oh, wait. They can sing. They're not very good at human songs, but they're really good at their own songs. In fact, there were three ducks in the parking lot when I got here this morning that sang to me. So Luther saw all of this as signs that God is alive and present in the world. You know what else would be cool? Plants that think. Wouldn't that be cool? Oh, wait. There is a new emerging field called plant neurobiology, and one of its big proponents is a guy named Michael Pollan, who wrote an article that was published in the New Yorker magazine defending this controversial subject of plant intelligence. And he talked about how there are some plants that seem to be able to hear the sound of caterpillars eating the leaves of nearby plants. And when they hear that, they give off chemicals that make it so that their leaves aren't appetizing to the caterpillars in order to save themselves. And there are other plants that seem to show compassion or sacrifice, that they will pull back in order to allow their family members to better thrive. And then there is the amazing bean plant video.
And as soon as you look at plants in time lapse, you gain a new respect for them and what they can do, and that they are much more active. This video of the single plant reaching for the pole is striking for a couple things. Watch the leaves as the thing goes on. The leaves look very kind of clenched and tight, and they too are working hard to help the plant reach its goal. But as soon as the hook of the tendril reaches the pole, watch how they change their behavior. Instead of being looking so strained and strenuous, they look like they're relaxing. They look very happy all of a sudden. And the other thing to look at is the nature of the motion and how effortful and striving it is. Basically, the bean plant grows a couple centimeters and throws itself over and over again with very good aim. It reminded me of someone with a fly rod casting repeatedly to hit a spot on a river. In the second video, we see two plants, bean plants, and they're competing for the same pole. And one of them gets the edge and is growing a little bit more quickly. And as soon as it makes contact, the other one seems to lose heart and suddenly stops aiming at the pole, which has been taken in some sense, and starts reaching in other directions behind the pole. You have to look carefully to see this, but it's reaching back in space. It's very sad, and there's nothing there for it to hold on to. And eventually, it just gives up in defeat. But somehow, this plant is aware of its environment and is working really hard, I mean, striving to get to that pole. Now, words like striving and looking and knowing and noticing all are metaphorical in the case of plants, and we should be skeptical of this, of mood and attitude in plants. But it sure looks that way when you look at these videos.
Did you see how happy and relaxed those leaves were? All right, I'm not sure I'm totally buying it. It's a little hard to believe, and yet seeing that, seeing the signs, makes it a little easier to believe that maybe there's something here. Maybe this is real. Luther said the power of God is present everywhere, even in the tiniest leaf. These are all signs that God is alive and present in the world. God is alive and present in the world. We're celebrating Easter. We look for the signs that Christ is risen from the dead, but it's hard to believe sometimes. Even the disciples had trouble believing. When it first happened, they didn't believe it. They were afraid. They were all together in a locked room. Now, when I say the disciples, they weren't all there. Obviously, Judas wasn't there. And for some reason, Thomas wasn't there either. I don't know why. Maybe he was out getting pizzas or something for the rest of the guys. But while Thomas was gone, Jesus showed up. He appeared to them, and he showed them his hands and his side. He spoke to them. He said, "Peace be with you," and he breathed on them. They felt his spirit, just like the kids did when I breathed on them through the straw today. They felt his spirit. They got the signs that they needed to believe. And then 8 days later, he came back, and Thomas was there this time. And again, he said, "Here, touch my hands, feel my side. These are the signs that you need to believe." But he said something else. He said something amazing. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." In other words, don't just see the signs. Be a sign. Share the good news. This is why I am so excited that our congregation, in just 2 weeks, you guys gave over $6,000 to help with flood relief for Lutheran Disaster Response. In your giving to help people you have never even met, you are being signs that Christ is alive and at work in the world. We had a group of FFA students that went to Nebraska to help a farmer, several of whom were members of our congregation. They went, and in helping, they were signs that Christ is alive and at work in the world. And we have a group going to South Dakota this summer on a mission trip. I hope that doesn't happen to the church bus. We have a group going to South Dakota. At this moment, we have 25 youth and 5 adults who are giving up a week of their summer to go and to work for free. They're not even getting paid, and they're going to do care of creation projects, probably at a state park, so that people who come to that park, like Luther, can see signs that God is alive and at work in the world through creation and through nature, and they themselves and the work that they're doing are being signs that Christ is alive and active in the world. Last Friday, I got the chance to go to the 2019 Charles City Community Volunteer Awards and saw so many of our St. John members receiving recognition for the volunteer work that they did this last year in our community. And I know that for everyone that was recognized, there are countless more of you who are volunteering out there who have not been recognized. You are all signs that Christ is alive and at work in our community and in our world. Stephen Ministry, we have 14 people who are signed up so far to come and join us for Stephen Ministry training this coming fall. And on top of that, we have 3 people, Norm Bauer, Ellen, and Larry Brewer, who have agreed to be our Stephen leaders. And today, in an hour or 2 hours, they're leaving and they're going to St. Louis to Stephen Leader Training so that they can learn for a week and come back and teach us how to be a more caring congregation and to be leaders here. Everybody responding to the call to Stephen Ministry, you are signs that Christ is alive and at work in this congregation and in this community. Last December, Joanne Hervert, pictured here with her husband Edgar, was Christmas shopping. I don't know if Edgar was with her or not, but she was shopping, and she saw updated versions of the game Mystery Date and Battleship. And she remembered a sermon that I had given a while back where I talked about my sister and me and how we used to argue all the time. We had this conflict because I wanted to play Battleship, and she wanted to play Mystery Date, and so we compromised and played Mystery Date, because it was the only game she would play with me, right? And it bothered me, and sometimes I would cheat, and it wasn't good. And Joanne saw these games, and she bought them and gave them to me so that my sister and I can play both games, and we can finally bury the hatchet. Joanne is a sign to me, helping my sister and me bury this old conflict, that Christ is alive and at work in the world. Luther said, "Our Lord has written the promise of resurrection not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime." So in those amazing plants, whether they have intelligence or not, and in the animals that make music, and in the humans that make music.
Every morning is Easter morning from now on.
In the tiny little seeds that grow and grow and give us a huge yield. And in the things that we give in our time and in our money and in the volunteer work we do helping people that we don't even necessarily know sometimes, in being able to bury the hatchet and put old conflicts behind us. In all of this, the good news of Easter is everywhere. Luther said, signs of the resurrection are all around us. All we have to do is look.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
Daniel, you gotta see this. Look at this.
Come here.
How have you not seen that yet?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Start from beginning. Tell us everything.
Okay. So
I can't believe it.
What is it?
You gotta be kidding me. That's great. Hey, come here. You gotta listen to the story.
I have something to show you.
Oh my goodness. Dad! Dad!
That is great.
Bring it in this time. Oh!
What are we gonna tell first?
We gotta tell our moms something. Your mom and my mom.
See this? The tomb! It's empty!
So go. See the signs. Be a sign. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen. And let's sing. Our next hymn is hymn 635. let's proclaim together what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's join our hearts together in prayer. Risen Lord, open our eyes and our minds to see the signs that you are alive and with us. And Lord, show us ways that we can be a sign of your love to others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for all in need today. We remember especially Shirley Hall, Mary Lindemann, Jean Wiedelman, Sandra Link, Ron Venz, John Montaigne, Clarice Laren, Dan Carey, B.J. Gifford, Helga King. And we pray for the family and friends of Tristan Lau at his death, and we pray that you would give your resurrection hope to them and to all who grieve the loss of loved ones. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, that you would protect and support the men and women who serve in the armed forces and their families, especially Alex Binger, Kim Hall, and Robson Shanklin. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those others who are on our hearts as we name them silently before you now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all say, Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And let's share that peace with one another. And you may be seated as we continue with the offering. Our offering hymn is number 820. Thank you. And please join me as we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I want to say thank you to John and Jean Rima for the altar flowers today in memory of Reggie, and to Paul and Yolanda Van Osdahl for the radio broadcast today in honor of their wedding anniversary. Mark your calendars. May 18th at 8:30, we're gathering here for the spring cleanup. And no, that is not a joke. Okay, it will be spring by May 18th. So we'd love to have you come and help us do that. We are still looking for more compassionate people who are good listeners to sign up for Stephen Ministry training that's going to be happening this coming fall. And you may be wondering still, what exactly is Stephen Ministry? Well, here it is in the words of another Stephen minister. His name is Ron Sledge. He's a Stephen minister at First Methodist in Houston, Texas.
Stephen Ministry is a listening ministry. People that are, some kind of crisis has popped up in their life. Something has sort of rocked their life. Could be some kind of emotional loss or something interrupted their life, you might say. We're there to kind of walk alongside of them and let God do his thing to get people through it. It's the most quiet, invisible ministry, not just of our church, but of any church. No one knows they necessarily even have a Stephen minister. We want people to feel like they can talk really about anything. We're here to listen to things that maybe it's even hard for your family to hear sometimes. We're just along to hear people out. Have I walked into someone's worst pain moment of their life? Yes. Our Lord and Savior walked into that room before I did. It's satisfying to watch God go to work on people. If a person had to drive to El Paso in August and their air conditioner was broken, pretty brutal to do that by yourself. If someone got in the car with you and your air conditioner was still busted and it's still across Texas to El Paso, it's still hot and it's still a problem, but you've got somebody with you and it's a different trip. Stephen Ministry, we're along for the ride. You were there for somebody, and it's just rewarding that you got to be a witness to watch God work in somebody's life. So that's why I'm going to keep doing it. And I recommend it.
So we're not here to try to fix anybody. We're just along for the ride to accompany people going through hard times. I would like to invite Norm Bauer and Larry and Ellen Brewer to please come forward at this time. Norm and Ellen and Larry have agreed to be our Stephen leaders. And first of all, we want to say thank you for answering God's call to be in this leadership position and to give up a week to go down and to learn and to grow and to come back and to teach us how to be a more caring congregation. We really appreciate it, don't we, congregation? And we want to send you off with a sending prayer and a blessing. So let's join our hearts in prayer. Compassionate Lord, you walked the earth to bring the good news of God's love to everyone. You showed us by example how to love and to care for one another. Make your caring presence known to us as we begin Stephen Ministry here at St. John. We pray that you would be with Larry and Ellen and Norm as they attend Stephen Leader training in St. Louis this week, that you would be with them, help them to learn how to begin Stephen Ministry here. Lord, give them safe travel, a spirit-filled time of learning. Help them to lean on your strength, your encouragement, and your wisdom as they learn how to lead us. In your holy name we pray, amen. And we pray that your air conditioning will work. So turn around, face the congregation, and once again, let's thank them for what they do. But we look forward to a report when you get back. Let's stand for the benediction. May Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. And we sing our ascending hymn number 380. Share the good news. Thanks be to God.